good. Your show must be doing really good.
Why?
Well, look at all this equipment you got here. I've never seen all this before.
You've got
microphone stands, and you've got all kinds of these little gizmos here.
When you land a spot on the exclusive Will Family Perch, this is where the king rules the castle and oversees these two beautiful practice fields as you guys go out for mandatory minicamp and get ready for the 2017.
This might be a good place for a tower. I could get one of those big megaphones and just kind of holler down there.
Wait till you get a load of vegan. Towers, princes, a princess, dragons. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. What was it like having Randy Moss here yesterday?
It was nice. It was, I got a chance to see him at the Taste of the Vikings last night, too. And, he brings bad memories to me because he got after us a couple times. And, man, he was hard to defend. But, he was such a tremendous athlete, great hand-eye coordination, catch the ball. I remember when we were getting ready to play him, we would have the scout team receivers line up 2 yards off sides, because that's how fast he was going to get on top of you. And then he'd just run by you.
So outside of natural physical ability for Randy, what are some teaching points with route running and just the way he played the game that you can share with any of your receivers or any receivers you've had?
Well, I think one of the greatest things that he did was when he was going to catch the ball, his hands came up so late. It was hard to even get an idea of when he was doing that. He was blessed with a lot of great gifts. The acceleration that he had, obviously the length and the speed. So, but he was a good route runner, and Culpepper and then they had Chris Carter on the other side. Which I remember one time we were doubling Carter. And I think we were doubling Moss, and Carter caught an unbelievable seven route between Darren Woodson and whoever the corner was, Kevin Smith or Larry Brown or something. I mean, it was a bad day.
Do you think there were times when Randy made a big play and someone like you or a coach was like, talking to the defensive player, and it's like you didn't really do anything wrong there? It just... Or do you think every time something happened like that?
No, I think there's a lot of times you got to give the offensive player credit. A guy makes a great play, and sometimes they, if you're in the right position and they make a better play than you do, then that happens. It happens all the time. So
one of the many great things of following the team and your defense is watching the team during games against Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Calvin Johnson back in the day, and how frequently those receivers will leave with minuscule numbers. What was there a certain way to cover Randy Moss to try to put him on a bad game?
Yeah, the problem is with when you're trying to take care of one guy, and they've got another guy on the other side, or they got a tight end. Or they run the ball with Robert Smith, or the quarterback can run. I mean, it makes it really difficult. And so, you really have to pick your spots in all those situations. It's really not any different now than he was, but he was such a great player that it was a little different ball game. And he did it for so long, and he was such a big play receiver. He catches the ball and he's going to outrun you. Even if it's a short pass, he outruns you for a long game and touchdown.
After today, specifically with the 2017 guys, you lose them for a month and a half up to training camp. What is there, and if so, what is the message as they depart today?
Well, one of the messages I hit them with yesterday and today was, we come out here and we work for, 4 or 5 weeks on technique and our footwork and all the little things, and then they go out and they go to their strength coach gurus, and they're running long distances and they're doing this, and I'd much rather have them come back here and know that they've worked on their footwork for the for whatever the run play is, or the defensive lineman for their way they come off the ball and things like that, and DBs and wide receiver, everybody, coming out of the breaks, because I want them to come back where they're at right now, and then we can continue to improve. We don't want to go back in these 5 weeks. So that was basically the message.
Yeah.
When in the off season, is there a lot of experimentation with lineups and different things, and then does that end at training camp, or do you think you still continue that at camp?
Well, you do a little bit at camp just because, you need to see these guys in pads. you know, a lot of the guys we know, obviously, but some of the younger guys, you know, how does that work out? How, you know, can we move this guy to guard? Can we look at this guy at tight end? Can we, let's take this guy and look at him at fullback, you know, but we got to see him in pads. Otherwise, you know, a lot of people could do what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Isn't Laquon Treadwell the number one case in point for what you just said? I mean, terrific this offseason. Definitely, viewing it from the outside, seems to be markedly more engaged behind the scenes and on the field. But until you get to training camp and preseason games and the bump and run and stuff,
yeah,
that's where the rubber meets the road for him.
Well, I think for all the receivers and for the DBs, you know, because we haven't been able to play any bump and run coverage, it's going to be a different ball game for the wide receivers and be a different ball game for the defense backs. So that's, for that position, that's probably the number one thing. It really, I don't think pads really make a difference in, you know, in those two positions much.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, they're kind of the semi-skilled athletes anyway.
Right.
If you look at...
You wanted to say diva.
No.
No?
We don't have any divas. We really don't, right?
I don't think so. They wouldn't last long around here.
Well, it depends on how good they are.
That's a good point. all right, if you look at the Vikings' defense over, you know, since you've been here, people would look at the rankings in certain areas, points per game, total defense, whatever, and they would see numbers that are single digits, like top five, and they would be like, so we're good there, so we got to think about all these other areas. But you guys sit in your defensive meeting room and you figure out how to not be good there and how to get better there. So what's that process like? How much are you fine-tuning things right now, being this far into the system?
Yeah, well, I think you do that every spring a little bit. You know, you kind of look at, you know, how can we get this guy more involved? How can we get that guy more involved? some of the things scheme-wise that people were attacking us with a little bit last year, you know, we've added a couple things this spring that I just think maybe it might help us down the road with some of these. So, you know, it's a little bit of adaptability throughout how the game changes every year and how the offenses change. That's part of it. You know, I one of the areas, there are two of the areas that we haven't been near as good defensively as I would like is, you know, we haven't had as many negative yardage plays, you know, where we can get them in the backfield, make it second and 12 or something like that. So that's one of them. And also, you know, and I can't figure it out totally, but throughout my career, the defense has always been pretty good on first down. And we weren't, you know, we should be in the top 10 every year in first down defense, and we weren't. So those two areas are kind of an area that I've talked to the defense about with a lot of different things, so mm-hmm. that we can put more you know, one of the things that I think we do good defensively is we've got good players, number one. They play together as a team. I think that we can rush the quarterback in a number of different ways, whether it's pressure, four-man rush, three-man, you know, whatever. And I think we cover pretty good. So if we can use that to our strength and get teams to do that more, then I think that will help us.
Yeah. Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer from Winter Park, day three, mandatory mini camp. It's 9 to noon.
So then what's the discussion like where you have the things that you do great that worked really well last year, but you want to get better at these other things and change things up, but you don't want to take away all the things that you did well? Because some offenses will be like, oh, they're not doing that anymore. That's great. That's a break for us.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's a fine line. I mean, we're always going to have the basic system that we have, but there's some things that, you know, that maybe we've run two times all year. Okay, well, let's put that on the back burner a little bit, and let's just hold off on that, and let's look at some of these other things where I feel like we can put more pressure on the offense, I guess is the best way to say it.
Overall, you know, in coming into your fourth year coaching here, heading into training camp, do you think this is the widest array of position battles you've ever had? I mean, the competition that you have at so many different spots this year, it's super deep. Don't you agree?
Well, I think we have a lot of players at a lot of spots. I mean, you know, I don't think you can give guys jobs based on what they've done in shorts, but I do think we have good depth on this football team. There's some positions we need more depth, but probably the thing I like the most about this football team is, and I've said this ever since I've gotten here, and it's more of a thing on Rick than it is on me, This team really works. You know, we come out to practice. I was talking to somebody the other day who was out here practicing. Man, you guys work. You know, they go out and work and bust your rear end, and guys are focused and do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, and so that always gives you a chance to compete. And then, you know, like you probably, I don't know, you don't know football, so.
Jeez. Frontal right out of the gate.
So, but we've been working on every day. We've been doing a game-like situation at the end of practice, where we can eliminate some of these things. And really, what all these games come down to is last minute of game or 2 minutes of game. And you know, everybody works on 2 minute drill. Well, it's not necessarily a 2 minute drill. It might be, like the first day situation was there was two minutes and 30 seconds left, and the offense had the ball moving in. They were down by three or something, so we don't take enough time off the clock.
Yeah,
we kick the field goal, but we leave the other team, you know, a minute 45 to come back and have a chance to win the football game.
Right.
And so those are kind of the scenarios that I'm really concentrating on now at the end of the practice here.
But even as a head coach in the NFL and somebody who's been in it multiple decades with a Super Bowl ring, aren't you always working on game management situations?
Yeah, but I tell you what, Paul, I'm not saying that's the most difficult thing about it, but one of the things is that as you're a defensive coordinator, you know, you're not really worried about all those things. You're thinking about how can I stop this other team?
Yeah.
How do I stop this guy? How would I do that? You know, it comes down in the situation, you're trying to make the right call and right situation. And then I honestly believe, and I said this after a year, you know, or after last year, whatever it was, you know, this they fire coaches so fast here. You know, I get it.
In the NFL, you
in,
mean?
In the NFL, yeah, not here, but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope not anyway. Yeah. But you know, you go 2 years and you get fired. You never really learn how to do the job really the right way you do it, and you know, there's a guy in New England that.
Right.
Kind of that happened to, and you know, he's doing pretty good now.
Yeah.
So I think it takes a while for you to understand the intricacies of that part of the game more so than, you know, especially when I came in here, you know, all I'm trying to do is fix the defense, you know, not fix the defense, but try to get the defense better.
Yeah.
You know, that was my number one priority coming in.
A couple of quickies to close for the head coach, Wobby.
Those situations, the situational periods, do you have to follow that up? What happens on the field in the meeting room with the guys, because it can be windy outside and stuff and they can't really hear, and you know how guys are at practice, they're just trying to be in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah, that's what I do every day, that we put the thing back on the tape, we go through it, I ask players questions, all right, what's the situation, what are we trying to do, you know, all right, what happens if this happens, you know, what's the most important thing here, and like today, you know, we were talking about a field goal, and part of it was, we got to know the kicker's range. You know, that's part of it. You know, you know, you got to know how far this guy can kick the damn ball. So, you know, I think all those things are really important. And you know, hopefully, it will help us to be a smarter team at the end of football games.
Time for two more.
This Michigan rookie linebacker Ben Gedion, from afar, seems like your kind of player. I mean, I'm certainly not trying to put him on the active roster, but. You have an open competition for at least one linebacker spot, and it just seems like he's a tough kind of guy that you like. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I like this kid. You know, he doesn't say much. He's all about business. I was teasing, you know, last night he was over. I was talking to Mark Wolf. We were over at the Vikings, Taste of Vikings, and he was there, and he's got, you know, the apron on that they all have and all that, and he's serving things, and I said, man, he looks big here. When he's out here with the players, he looks little. But with all these people, you know.
Yeah.
But he's a great kid and very conscientious. You know, we've had him move into a couple spots here this spring, and he does not blink. He just kind of goes, and, you know, he doesn't say boo yet. So that's probably a good thing.
Last one. How's your eye? And over the next month and a half, what do you do to help rehabilitate it?
Well, I knew that was coming at some point today. Well, I had to make sure I put sunglasses on so I didn't ruin it for coming out here and talking to you on the radio, right?
Well, we don't
very
want that.
Very considerate of you.
Yeah,
we don't know
you.
Football, but we know eyes.
Yeah, so I had another doc's appointment yesterday. Retina is perfect. Pressure is really good. I still have this gas bubble in my eye, which is annoying, but it's going to go away. He thinks it'll probably go away in the next 7 to 10 days, we're hoping. And he said he would be extremely shocked if anything happened from here on out with this eye.
Knock on wood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the chat. Yep. Enjoy your time down.
Thank you. Thanks, Coach.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings from Winter Park. It's 9 to noon.